Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Gospel of John, where we've been learning the proper solution for spiritual nourishment. And today, as we continue in John chapter 6, we're reminded of the importance of having a balanced diet, not only physically, but spiritually as well. So let's continue with part 2 of The Bread of Life, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
So Jesus is the living word, this is the written word, but they're connected to one another. And it's through this written word that we feed upon the living word. So as I come to this word of God and I begin to feed upon it, I go through that sort of a same sort of a process. And there is that element where, you know, there's some taste, if you will. And there are times as we're reading through the word, and it's as though we're tasting it. And the Bible uses that terminology. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And so there's that element to it. But then it goes beyond just that sort of a thing. There's something deeper that's going to take place. And now here's what I want you to get a hold of. We so often get hung up on the taste part. And if it doesn't taste good, or if it's bland in our opinion, normally we would just say, no, I don't want that. But you know, you can't just live on food that tastes good. You've got to have food that doesn't necessarily have that flair or that sort of taste, or you've got to at least have that substance. You might throw some seasoning on it or something to, you know, enhance the taste of it. Now, what happens, though, is spiritually, a lot of times, we don't like the taste of something. Or, because it's bland, we think, well, I don't really enjoy that, so I'm not going to eat that. We have to remember that it's not primarily about taste. It's about something much more important than that. It's about getting this into my spiritual digestive tract, so that it can be assimilated into my spiritual life and it can go out to the cells in my spiritual body and strengthen me so that I can become strong in the Lord. And you see, here's where people break down all the time. Here's where people struggle. They say, oh, well, you know, I tried reading the Bible, but I just didn't seem to be getting anything. What are they saying? They're saying it didn't taste good. I didn't get a feeling. I didn't get any sort of sense that something was happening. That is not the point. That is not the issue. You see, what we need to realize is this word of God, it will go into you, whether it tastes good or not, or whether you have some sort of a feeling or an experience, that's not the issue. It's getting God's word into your heart so it can get assimilated into your spiritual life. And what we need to do is just have a consistent, steady diet. You know, some people, because of, for health reasons, they have to go on a bland diet. There's no spices, there's none of that stuff. And, you know, sometimes there's sort of a blandness when we are making our way through the Word of God. But don't let that discourage you. Don't stop because it's perceived to be bland. Know that regardless of that, this will nourish you. That's what happened with the children of Israel. We're going to talk about this a little bit in a moment. But remember, God gave them manna. Now, manna was the ultimate food. All you had to do was eat the wafer of manna, and you got all of your vitamins, all of your minerals. You got everything you possibly need. It was everything wrapped into a little wafer. But it was bland to some extent. And after a while, it became very bland. And the people, it says, they hated it. They loathed it. They wanted the garlic. They wanted the leeks. They wanted those spicy things that they had back in Egypt. And they began to cry out, take us back. We want to go back to Egypt because we like the food better back there. And you know, here's the thing. Sometimes going through the Bible, there is sometimes a bit of a blandness to it. Sometimes it's just sort of a meat and potatoes without salt. But it's okay. But what people do is they go, oh no, you know, that's too bland. And so they start going out and searching for other things, and they a lot of times we'll be looking for the church that has got all the spice, all the excitement, all of the activity. We can only go to the church where everything is happening and we can feel something going on. See, that's a deception. Because feeling is on the surface. It's a surfacey thing. There's something that goes far beyond the feelings. And so we need to feed upon the Word of God, and we need to be faithful even through those, you know, seemingly bland parts or those boring parts or those tough parts to get through. As we get through there, you need to know this: God's Word is going in and it's being digested spiritually, and it's making you strong, even though you might not sense it, because there's nothing in the senses that's telling you that. You just keep doing it, and you'll find 6 months down the road, 9 months down the road, a year down the road, you're going to all of a sudden realize, man, I'm strong. I feel good. I feel spiritually vibrant, and man, I feel like I could, you know, I could do something for the Lord. That's what happens with the Word of God, feeding upon the Word of God. And we must do that faithfully. We must do that consistently. We must do that steadily. And thank God, there are those spicy times. There are those times when, oh, this tastes so good. It is sweeter than honey and honeycomb. The Lord will give us those times. But we cannot just have the commitment when we have that experience. We have to have the commitment whether we have that experience or not. We've got to just hang in there. We've got to stick faithfully in the Word. When we feel good, when we feel the presence of God, when we feel close to Him, and those times when we don't feel that either. We just keep going through. That's why it's a great thing just to simply have a consistent, steady pattern of reading through your Bible. Because, you know, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter how I felt yesterday morning or how I felt all week and getting into the Scriptures. This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going. So this is where I'm at today. And if today I have a great experience with God, wonderful. If nothing happens in the sense of my emotions, that's not a problem. This is where I'm at, and this is what I'm doing. The people that do that are the people who are strong in the faith. The people who are all over the map and up and down and, oh yeah, I read for a few weeks, but you know, it's been a couple of months since I really got into the Word. You know, it was just seemed dry. I wasn't getting anything out of it. You see, that's the mistake. You weren't getting anything out of it. Oh, but you were. You just didn't realize it. You just didn't understand that there's something going on that's below the surface. There's something even more important going on than what might be going on, you know, when you had those experiences. You know, one thing I've noticed, experience, it is a wonderful thing, but it seems pretty consistent that when a person is a new believer, a lot of times that's when there is a lot of that experience. And that's those, there's a purpose for that. God is, He's confirming His reality to us. He's confirming His truth. He's confirming His love. He's, yes, I'm with you. And yes, I did save you. And here's my presence. And do you feel me? And oh, and this is wonderful. And, but you know, as we start to grow up a little bit, the Lord's just sort of, you know, He backs off a bit because He wants us to not depend on a feeling. He wants us to be walking by faith. You know, it's like when you're training your child to ride a bike. When I was training my kids to ride their bikes, you know, there you were, and first, you know, you were just holding onto the bike and pushing it. And you weren't about to let go of it. But then as they developed a little bit, you know, you sort of walk behind them. Maybe you just hold it with one hand, but you're right there. And then as they're getting a little better, you're walking along. And then, you know, pretty soon you're just sort of removing your hand. They don't even know it. And then they look back. Are you holding on, Daddy? Oh, yes, I got it right here, you know. But, you know, then as they gradually learn and develop, and pretty soon they're like, hey, let go, quit holding on. And, you know, off they go. Spiritually, there's a similarity there. And God will, you know, give us that sense of his closeness and his nearness sometimes in those early stages. But then, you know, at times he'll pull back a little bit. He'll let us walk by faith. He wants us to walk by faith. It's part of the growing process. It's part of our development. But what is all of this back to? It's back to feeding on Jesus. And I want to encourage you, if you've never gone through the Bible before, if you've never read through the Bible, start doing it. Start in Matthew, read through to Revelation. When you finish Revelation, go back to Genesis, and then make your way all the way from Genesis right through to Revelation. You will be amazed at how much you will grow and how you will be strengthened on that process, going through that. That's what we're talking about here. Jesus said, again, as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. We eat 3 times a day at least, right? Some people eat 6 times a day. Some people eat 16 times a day. Now, spiritually, we need to keep eating. We need to keep feeding on the Lord. He's given us this book. He's given us his word. And again, you know this, but let me just remind you, this isn't just a book. These are the words of the living God. And Jesus said, these words are spirit and they are life. And man, when you feed on them, that's what they do. They give you life. They give you spiritual life. You cannot possibly have a healthy spiritual life if you're not feeding on the Word of God. It's not going to happen. It can't happen any more than you could be a healthy person physically if you decided that you just were no longer going to eat. And so Jesus, he tells us to feed upon him. Now, as I mentioned, you know, as we look at this dialogue that's going on here between Jesus and these people, and there's these allusions back to Moses and the manna. And in the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus, which we have the story of God giving the manna to the children of Israel. But Jesus makes a parallel between himself and the manna. They say, Moses, he gave us bread from heaven. Jesus says, no, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. It was actually God who gave them bread from heaven. But Jesus says, but my Father, he gives you the true bread from heaven. Jesus is making a connection between himself and the manna. And when you look back at that 16th chapter of Exodus and you read through there, you find that there are these little nuggets, these little parallels, where you see that there is a corresponding thing there with the manna that was given and with the true bread from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you just a few examples. The bread from heaven, the manna that God gave to Israel, he gave it to them freely. It was free. They didn't have to pay for it. They didn't have to do anything other than receive it. It was God's gift to them. It was his provision for their physical needs in the wilderness. It was free. And so it's free, feeding upon Jesus Christ. Of course, salvation is free, but growth is free as well. Because the food for the soul is, as we've been pointing out, the living Word of God. And God's given it to us freely. And we can feast upon it. And we can come to it. And we can enjoy it all for free. Another interesting thing is that the manna came to where the people were. Came to where the people were. You know, we don't have to go on some quest or some long journey within some of the different religious systems, you know, you have this built-in sort of a quest or a pilgrimage or something like that that you must take in order to really connect with the God. You think of the Muslims. They have an obligation to make a trip to Mecca once in a lifetime, or if they can't make it, to provide for somebody else to make it. So they've got to take a journey wherever they are in the world. If they're somewhere in the vicinity, that's all right. But if they're living somewhere outside of that, wherever they are in the world, they have an obligation. They've got to take this journey, and somehow their spiritual life is not going to be complete unless they make that journey. And that's not true only with Islam. It's true with other religions as well. But that's not the case with the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to us. We don't have to go find him somewhere. He came to us. He condescends and he meets us right exactly where we're at. Isn't that amazing? You can get up in the morning and go down into your den or into your kitchen or into your living room or a secluded place in your house, or you can go out in your backyard, or you can go down, you can go anywhere, and guess what? Jesus will meet you right there. He's there. You tell him where you're going to be. He'll be there with you. Isn't that is astounding. That's such a wonderful thing. The God of the universe, he says, where do you want to meet today? Okay, I'll be there. If you're there, I'll be there. Just like the manna, it came to the people. The manna, here's another interesting thing about it. The manna was only sufficient for the day. And it had to be gathered daily. You could not collect a week's supply of manna. You couldn't collect a two-day supply of manna, except for on the Sabbath day. God allowed it on the Sabbath. But it had to be gathered every single day. If you wanted to eat, then you would have to collect the manna each and every day. And that's, again, that's what I'm talking about. It's that daily communion with the Lord. Meeting with him daily. Spending time with him. You know, we so often, we run ourselves into the ground, sort of spiritually, don't we, at times. We're running on empty, basically. We're going along trying to keep up and trying to keep going, but we're not nourishing our souls. And I do that myself. Oh, but Lord, I'm so busy. I've got this going on. I've got that going on and all of these other things. And pretty soon, 3 or 4 days go by and I think, you know, I haven't had a time of feeding upon the Word like I should. I mean, I read the Bible every day. I teach it a lot of times. I tell people about it. I quote scriptures. I answer questions. But that's not what I'm talking about. It's that time of gathering it for myself and partaking of it. Manna, as I mentioned earlier, but again, it was an all-sufficient food. There was no lack in it. It was all a person needed for a perfectly healthy physical existence. Jesus, like that manna, Jesus is all you need. He's, in the end, he's all we need. I talked to a lady today. I prayed with her. Sweet lady. She told me that her husband and her son were killed in a car accident last year. She was telling me about how her daughter's really struggling right now. And she asked me to pray for her, and I did. And in the end, I just said, you know, the Lord himself, he's the answer to your grief. He's the answer to your sorrow. He's the answer to your questions. It's the Lord himself. I don't have an answer. Nobody has an answer. Jesus is the answer. And he is. He is the all-sufficient one for everything that our souls need. And then finally, the manna nourished God's people in the wilderness. Did you know the day the children of Israel stepped into the Jordan River to cross into the promised land, that day the manna ceased. For 40 straight years, God supplied them with manna. On the day they crossed the Jordan into the promised land, the manna ceased. You will need to be sustained by this food of God's word till the day you cross over into heaven. This is what God has given us. He's given us his word to feed upon it, to feast upon it, to be nourished by it. And it's to be the thing that carries us all the way through our wilderness experience. This is it. This is the wilderness. We're in it. But one day we'll pass out of the wilderness into the promised land. One day we'll pass into heaven. And then, of course, we won't need that sustenance any longer. It's like Paul said, one day prophecy will cease, tongues will no longer be, knowledge will vanish away, because then I'll know even as I'm known. And so feeding upon the Lord all the days of our life, meditating upon his word, that's what God has designed for us, and that's what he has supplied for us. Don't neglect the provision that God has made for you. I can honestly tell you that in almost every single case where a person has not done well, where they've struggled, where they've been spiritually anemic, or whatever the case, in every single case, there's always the common thread: they haven't been feeding on the Word of God. Now, they might even be teaching, they might even be studying theology, but they haven't been feeding personally upon the bread of life. That's what we need, that connection, feeding upon the Lord Jesus, because here's what he said: he who comes to me will never hunger. Never hunger. You know, if we're hungry, if we're weary, if we're frustrated, if we're feeling empty, and of course, I'm talking to people who are believers, then we have to go back and say, well, wait a second. Am I being nourished on that bread from heaven? Because Jesus said, I would never hunger if I was. So if I'm hungering, if I'm a believer, but I'm still thinking, oh, you know, maybe there's something else out there, and maybe I forgot to try something, or maybe I should do this, or go back to that, or, you know, or maybe this church just isn't working for me. I need to go somewhere where things are more exciting or something like that. No, you need to just go to the bread from heaven and feed on him. Because he who comes to me, Jesus said, will never hunger. Will never hunger. He brings total and complete satisfaction. He is the nourishment for the soul. He is the satisfaction for the soul. Feed on him. He is the bread of life. Lord, thank you that you are the living bread that came down from heaven, that if a man eat, he'll never hunger, never thirst, never die. Oh, Lord, forgive us for our vain attempts at being nourished through other things. Help us, Lord, to feed upon that living bread from heaven. Lord, as we take the time to open your word, meet us there and nourish us. And give us, Lord, the wisdom and the patience and the grace to keep feeding, even though we might not have some great taste experience, some feeling, some emotion. Help us to just faithfully feed upon you. Do that, Lord. Work your word deep into our hearts. And Lord, may it go into every cell of our spiritual bodies and nourish and strengthen us in the inner man, the spiritual man. We know the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed, and we know that that renewing process is vitally connected to your word. So, Lord, help us to feed upon you, the bread from heaven, we pray. Amen.
As Brian mentioned in his closing words today, Jesus is indeed the bread of life and our source for spiritual nourishment. Now, if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you would like to order a copy for a friend or a loved one, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Bread of Life. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3235. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian, or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.